Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
So everybody, please stand and welcome the awesome pastor of our church, Vernell J.R. Samuel.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. That's right, we said that size matters. It does, right? It does. The thing about size, we gotta appreciate God is a God of diversity. Amen? He didn't make everybody one size. People are tall, some people are short. Amen. And we got to learn to appreciate diversity. Amen. So with that in mind, let's all stand because the God we serve is an awesome God. And he is ultimately strategic. He's intentional about everything he does. And like we said, we're about to step into a brand new series. I know you guys don't want to stop talking about love and relationships, but I'm ready to go somewhere else. Okay, you guys got more than enough to meditate on, to chew on, and like I said, it's just a matter of applying the wisdom, applying what we've been teaching. One of the things that I've realized, it turns down a little bit, one of the things is that I realized that so many times we, for me personally, I counsel people, I advise people and talk to all sorts of people, and then at the end of the day, some people go back and they go right back to the same old stuff. You know, so it's not a matter of how much you hear. It's just that if you have an ear to hear and apply what you hear, you only need to hear something once, one time, and that's enough, all right? And I've learned to be quick to hear and very slow to speak. I've learned to be that way because I never wanted to be that person God has to say the same thing to me over and over again. Because when God has to do that, sometimes he can whisper, and then sometimes he has to raise his voice. And when he raises his voice, the earth starts shaking, stuff starts coming from underneath your feet, all right? Then you start hitting the floor, all right? And then all sorts of hell start breaking loose, or it seems like all hell is breaking loose around you, but it's just God trying to get your attention. All right, what did he do with Jonah, right? Jonah ended up in the belly of a whale. Until he came back to his senses to listen to God. So I never wanted to be that person that got to get stuck in a fish's mouth to hear God, all right? Well, God, if you tell me something once, I want to do it the first time, all right? And I want you to be like that. I don't want you guys to hear this teaching and just take it like another word. This is not a casual word. This is a prophetic message. And again, one of the things here at Hungry for God is I really don't preach what I feel like preaching. All right, I don't preach what I want to preach. I preach what God wants to say to you. Okay, so the Lord said it's time for us to expand. It's time for you to grow. We're in a season of expansion as a church, right? This is our expansion, a year of expansion. We're believing God for our own place, our own building. And I believe that the building that we get next is going to be bigger and better than what we currently have. Amen? Because that's the nature of God. He's a God of increase. He's a God of expansion. And I also realize that if we're going to expand as a church, well, you are the church. So if our church is expanding, that means you need to expand. All right? And one of the things is, again, some of you guys have been coming from different church experiences, church backgrounds, and you say, you know, Pastor, I love it here. You know, I came from a big church, and I don't like big churches because I can't get to speak to the pastor. I can't have a relationship with them. But I want you to realize, don't get comfortable because this won't be a small church either. If you're looking for a small church, you probably won't want to stay here because we're going to expand, we're going to grow, we're going to get bigger, all right? And it's also selfish of you to think that you like to be in a small church because that means you don't care about the many souls that are out there that don't know God, that haven't had an encounter with him, and that means you want to keep the church small so you can have a selfish relationship with your pastor and avoid all the people on the outside who don't know God yet. All right? How many souls in New York need to hear the gospel, need to know Jesus before he comes? Amen? Found people find people, all right? If you follow him, you'll be bringers. You'll be bringing people to Jesus. Come on. So it's not enough to just say, I like this small church, because we ain't going to be small. We're going to grow. Amen? Amen? That's right. All right, so let's lift up our hands. We're getting ready to step into this new series. I want you to lean in today, all right? I want you to lean in, and I want you to pull from what God has to say. I want you to open up your spirit, man. I want you to open up your heart, because I know that this is a prophetic word. So much so that the Lord confirmed this word. Let's look at it real quick. I know you guys are getting about to tap in. Wait. The Lord confirmed this word on the New York Post on Friday night. My homeboy Pastor D texted me. He was like, check this out. I told him what the series was on Friday called Size Matters. And he said, did you see the New York Post? I said, no. There was a picture of Donald Trump on the back of the newspaper, and it said Size Matters. Did you guys see it? You saw it? Size Matters. Now, out of any other week that could have been on the newspaper, it was on the weekend we're starting our new series. Come on. So God is speaking, all right? God is speaking. He uses anybody. He uses anybody, including Donald Trump, if he needs to. All right, I don't want to let you guys hear my views on this whole political swing yet. I'll save that for later. But just keep in mind, all right, you want to be balanced. You don't want to be left or right. You just want to be in the center. And it's so important that you just hear what heaven has to say in every situation, all right? So your life is getting ready to shift. Father, I thank you for every person that you sent here today to receive this word from your mouth to your people's ears. Father God, I thank you, God, that you are concerned about us. You care about us. And you are inviting us consistently. You are inviting us continually into your presence, into your kingdom. Father, you said if we seek your kingdom first, everything else will be added to us. And so, Father, what's needed, what's going to be added to us is not a matter of force. It's not a matter of skill. It's not a matter of ability. It's just a matter of surrender. So, Father, we surrender our hearts to you. We open up our hearts to you, God. We want to hear from you. We want to know your ways. We want your wisdom. We want your guidance. We want your intellect, your intelligence to be expressed to us today, Father. So let your will be done. I bless your people today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time. On your way down, just high five about two people. Tell them you're about to stretch. All right, you're about to stretch, okay? You're about to grow. You're about to increase, all right? If you can, I want you guys to turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, all right? Now, we're going to do some work. I need you guys to get ready to, again, to hear and to receive. I want you to take notes copiously. I want you to open up your phone if you don't have a pen or a pad to write. I want you to receive this, because I'm telling you, this is going to be groundbreaking for your life. If you feel stuck in any way in your life, if you feel confined in any way in your life, if you feel like in some areas you're growing, in some areas you still feel like you're straddling, that you haven't been able to reach or break into new territory, this word is going to be what your spirit needs to take you to that next place. All right? So, I don't know about you, but anybody who feels like they want to break through some more in some areas of their lives. All right? Now, it's so important that you understand that, again, we talked about this during the fast, that destiny has a diet. Destiny has a diet. All right? What God is going to do in your life, you need to be eating the right food. You need to hear the right information. But the thing about growth and about increase is that you can only grow when you are receiving the right nutrients. Okay, physically speaking, you can only grow if you receive the right nutrients, and it's the same thing spiritually. All right, but I told you guys Genesis chapter 1, right? Let's look at verse 1 together. We're going to read a number of verses, and then I'm just going to share some revelation with you. Genesis 1, verse 1, you can read verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, so We understand that God was not created in the beginning, but He created the beginning. Right? God was not created in the beginning, but He actually created the beginning. He created time. He stood outside of time, and He created time. As He created time, He also created the heavens and the earth. So even heavens was created in the beginning, but God was not in the heavens. He created the heavens. So God is even outside of the heavens. All right, He's the word God. There is the word Adonai or I am. All right, the self-existent God. I don't need anything or anyone else to be in existence. I was in existence before anything else. Okay? So He says, I am the great I am. In the beginning, the great I am created the heavens and the earth. You know, we always talk a lot about we're bringing heaven to earth, and, you know, religious people say we're going to heaven. But the reality is, if God created the heavens and we were created in the image and likeness of God, then in essence, we're not really going back to heaven, we're going back to God. Because we came from God, we didn't come from heaven. We were created in the image and likeness of God, okay? So God is where we're going. And that's why heaven is wherever God is. Because heaven is where God resides. That's why it's important that you need to understand that if God resides in you, that means He made you into a little heaven. You are a heaven. When you open up your mouth, you open heaven. Okay? You need to recognize that your identity in God is the most valuable resource to draw from when it comes to establishing yourself. Because if you look at yourself to try to discover who you are, you're always going to feel a little bit, you're going to be let down. You're going to be disappointed in yourself because you can only look at yourself for so long. Because you're going to recognize there is eternity on the inside of you. There's an eternal scope. There's an eternal flow on the inside of you called God that you need to tap into. So if your ego is still feeding the way you see yourself or perceive yourself, then you're always going to fall short of the glory that's within you. The glory of God. Okay, verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? So here we see God's creation project, and then in verse 4, we see God's creation project, and then we see the beginning of God's expansion project. Because after He created, the Bible says, the earth was without form. It was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Which means that when God created, He created the earth and created the world, and He created a deficit for Himself. God created a deficit for Himself, and then He began to reveal to us His expansion plan. The law of expansion was immediately demonstrated from the very beginning. Like, why did God create the world and then it was dark and void? Why didn't He create it full of light already? Right? Why didn't everything that needed to be in existence just was already in place? No, the Bible says He created things, He left it at a deficit, and then He began to expand. All right, He called, and then we read the rest of the chapter. We see how God, after He said, let there be light, He called the light into darkness. He called the day into existence. He called the night into existence. He called the firmament of the waters into existence. He began to call the dry land into existence, the seas. The earth began to bring forth grass and seeds and herbs and trees. And then God began to call the stars and the lights in the skies into existence. All right. Then we go down to verse 20, and then we see that God began to create the living creatures, birds and the animals, and all these things began to form. All right. God began to expand. And let's jump down to verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So pay very close attention to the fact that when God created man, God wanted man to replicate or duplicate what he did. So God created, then he expanded things on the earth, then he said, let's make man in our image and our likeness to look like us, to operate and to function like us. Okay? So he says, we've made man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Somebody say expansion. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that creeps or moves on the earth. Okay? So here we see the beginning, the genesis of our creation, the genesis of our design, of our development into planet Earth. And it's when we look at this chapter one, it's so important that we understand God's original intent, all right? I talk about that at different times, but I'm gonna say it again. We need to understand God's original intent, God's original plan, God's original mandate for humanity's life, why he created us and how he designed us to function. Because if we don't know original intent, it's like seeing this device for the first time, and don't know why it exists. So let's say it was off, it's not turned on, I just find this, let's say I came from the 1950s, and I picked this up. And from the 1950s, you think anybody will have a clue as to what this is? All right, in the 50s, we probably just got a TV, but nobody will even have an idea of text, writing with your fingers, making a phone call to speak to someone who's not next to you. All right, this is a brand new concept, a brand new idea for someone who has not seen this before. And if I don't know what this is supposed to do, more than likely, I won't use it for its function. I won't use it for its correct. I just think it's something from the 50s. Maybe a table prop or something that I just put under my table if it's uneven. Then it would take somebody who knows the original intent to say, do you know what you got under your table? That's called an iPhone. Do you know what you can do with this? And then that person will have to unveil or reveal to me or whoever it is what the capabilities of it is. And that's what it was for humanity, that man did not know what we were designed for. God is our creator, as our manufacturer. He knows, he holds the blueprint as to what each and every one of us are designed to do and how we designed to do it and how to get it done. Okay? Are you following me? So as the creator, as God, when we go back and read Genesis 1, we begin to see one thing that is extremely important, that God made us in his image, and he made us in his likeness, okay? We were created to look like him. We were created to function like him. And the very first thing we see God tell man to do in verse 28 is to be fruitful and multiply. Or in this case, we're going to call that expansion, all right? Expand, okay? Now, I want you to also pay close attention to this verse. He says, God blessed them, and God said to them, all right? So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to give you guys some laws and some principles, some of the properties to expansion. Okay, because if you are not expanding, then that means you're not fulfilling your divine assignment. Okay? You are not fulfilling your divine instruction. If God said to be fruitful and multiply, I want you to know that it's not just talking about reproduction here. He's talking about your very life is supposed to be a life that is productive to the world that you're in. You're supposed to be a productive contributor to the development and the maturation of society, okay? And so I want to give you guys from Genesis some of the laws, the basic laws of expansion, because when you understand laws, or when you understand principles, God is a God of principle, amen? God is a God of laws, that whenever God establishes something, it's a law, it's a command. And the thing about a law is that every law has within itself, an inherent judgment. Meaning that if you don't walk or operate according to the law within itself has the power to judge you for disobeying or breaking that law. All right, so for example, the law of gravity says, what goes up must come down. Whatever goes up must come down, okay? And if I want to ignore that law and walk off of a 20-story building, that's not God judging me. That's not God judging me to death because I sinned or because I was bad. It was because I chose to disobey the law of gravity. If I walk off a 20-story building, gravity itself will weigh me down, bring me down to my demise or my death. And so what happens is people who don't know the laws of God will blame God for stuff that is not God. It's just the law that you ignored. Okay? You have to understand principles come along with it, its own inherent judgment, that if we don't operate by the law itself will cause a judgment or bring a judgment on my life that because I failed to operate by what the capabilities of that law offers, all right? Same thing with anything else. Any law, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, all right? If you choose to steal, there is an inherent judgment attached to that, okay? If you steal, something else will happen to you, all right? Every action has a reaction. Good. It's basic, right? So now, God begins to speak to man about his responsibility to expand the earth, to be fruitful, and to multiply on the earth. The first law of expansion, I want you to write this down, the first law of expansion that we see is that everything that exists, are you writing? Everything that exists has the potential to expand. Everything that exists has the potential to expand. Everything that exists has the potential to expand. All right? As a matter of fact, I'm using that word expand, so let me just give you a working definition of that word so that we can all be on the same page, okay? We can all be on the same page. The word expand is also synonymous with the word increase. Everybody say increase. All right? So when we talk about expansion, we're talking about increase. Increase or to expand means to become greater or more in size. All right? So write this down as well. Expand or to increase means to become greater or more in size. Not only size, that can mean quantity, number, degree, value, intensity, power, authority, reputation, whatever. It means to just become greater. Expand means to become greater or to become more in size, quantity, number, degree, wealth. It means to grow, okay? To grow. Number two, increase or expansion means to multiply by the production of the young. And these definitions are from Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. All right, number two, to increase or to expand means to multiply by the production of the young. To multiply by the production of the young. To be fertile, fruitful, or prolific. Okay? to multiply by the production of the young. So sometimes it's not just about you increasing, sometimes your expansion may be in your investment in those around you, right? Your investment in the young, your investment your reproduction, okay? Developing or leaving a legacy, all right? Expansion. And number three, another definition of increase is to become nearly full. Doesn't mean it's not to become full, to become nearly full. To show more of the surface. To show more of the surface. And the picture that they had of that is the moon. All right, so, you know, like you can see a quarter of the moon in some nights, and some other nights you can see half a moon, other nights you can see the full moon. All right, but how many of you know you're still not seeing the full moon when you see a full moon? Right? There's so much more of the moon that we don't see. But in our, from where we are, we get to see, or you know, we're talking about the circular subject of it. Well, we see more of it at certain points. And what it means to increase, when it says to show more of the surface, it means to become more of something that you already are, right? It's not like the moon is transforming its shape. It's just that we're seeing more of what it already is. So when we increase and we become nearly full to show more of the surface, God wants to expose to you and to the world more of who you already are when he causes you to expand or to increase. God is causing you to see, because some of you, where you are right now, you think that that's all that there is, and God is saying, nope. I created you for more than what you currently see or what you currently know about yourself. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care whatever you got. There is more in store for you. Why? Because everything that exists has the potential to expand. And not only that, number two, this is going to hit you. The goal, number two, the goal of existence is expansion. The goal of existence is expansion. See, because some of us, we're just happy to be alive. I'm happy to be here. And so existing and surviving is all some of us just know how to do. But according to the original intent of God, whatever he exists, not only has the potential to expand, the goal of your existence is to expand. That if you're not expanding, then you have no reason to exist. You know how we know that? Matthew chapter 20? The Bible talks about when Jesus saw a fig tree that was not producing fruit. And Jesus walked to the fig tree and wanted fruit from it, and it was not reproducing. It was not being fruitful. It was not expanding. So when Jesus saw it, he cursed it and said, you will not bear fruit any longer from this day forward. Why? Because it was not fulfilling its purpose for its existence. When you are not expanding and being fruitful, you have no reason to exist. So Jesus cursed the fig tree. John 15, he also talked about the fact that if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, I'm the vine, you are the branches, right? He said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But if you are not bearing fruit, he says that the husbandman, the father, will come and cut you off and cast you into the fire because you have no reason to be in existence. Okay? So, you need to understand expansion is not an option for you. Expansion is a necessity. It's why you are still alive. You have something more to contribute to the world. Come on. There is something more that God needs from you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You have to begin to start embracing a mindset of expansion, increase, fruitfulness. It's so important to Jesus that he talks about, he gives us parables all day about how, for example, the parable of the talents. There was a story of a guy who left who gave 5 talents to one person, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And he said that the person who was given 5, the Bible says the person who was given 5 found a way to expand or to increase what he was given. The person who had 2 did the same thing, but the person who had 1 chose to bury the talent that he had. And so when the Lord came back, he asked the person with the 5, what did you do? He said, look, I've doubled it. I got 10 out of the 5. Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. Same thing with the 2. I doubled the 2 that you gave me. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. But the one who had, the one who buried the talent and hid it, he said, you are a wicked and unfaithful servant. He gave back to Jesus the one that Jesus gave him. He did not expand it. And so some of us, we believe that faithfulness is just holding on to what God gives you. But according to that parable, faithfulness is expanding what God gave you. Faithfulness is not fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is faithfulness. All right? People holding on, well, you know, the church is not growing, or their ministry is not growing, or the bank account is not growing, but, you know, I'm just holding on to what I've got. No, that's not pleasing God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it doesn't take any faith to hold on to what you have. It takes faith to take what you have and begin to expand it, to begin to multiply it, to begin to be fruitful what you have. That's called living a life of faith, because it's stretching you. It's bringing you out of your comfort zone, and it's bringing more out of you that you didn't know is in you. So God doesn't want you to be passive and to be coddled into your comfort zone and just feel like, I'm just holding on till Jesus comes. No, God wants you to occupy until he comes. And word occupy means to do business. And when you do business, it's causing you to expand. Luke chapter 2 talks about when Jesus was on the Pentecost feast. This is when he was a little boy. He was 12 years old. His parents takes him to the festival. His mom forgets him there, and they leave him. You guys remember that story? And then they're like, wait, where's Jesus? They go back to find him. He was in the temple, the Bible says, debating with the doctors and the lawyers and the religious leaders. And then she said, Mary, Jesus' mother, says, what are you doing here? All right, why did you do this to us? Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? All right, my father's business. She didn't know what he really, really meant then. And then 2 verses after that, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Why? Because he took his father's business serious. He took his father's business serious. He was looking to find ways to expand the level of influence and authority he had, even at the age of 12. So he says, the revelation that I have of God, I'm going to get around these lawyers and these doctors, and I'm going to show them what I got. I'm going to give them what I got. And he stumped them. And the Bible says right after that, he increased in wisdom and stature. Okay? So, I mean, this is something that you got to understand. This brings me to my next point about the law of expansion, 3. Not only is the goal of existence is expansion, but expansion requires energy. Expansion requires energy. Everybody say energy. Expansion requires energy, all right? You ain't going to expand in no way, shape, or form if you're sitting down doing nothing, okay? Expansion always requires energy. When you expand, you're expending energy. You're going to expend some energy. And it's so important, because energy management is crucial for your life, knowing what to put your energy in and what to not put it in. Because what happens is sometimes we try to expand in our lives in certain areas, and then we hit roadblocks, or we hit some disappointments. You know, we try to launch out and start that business, or we try to invest in something, or, you know, we try to do something beyond our comfort zone, and then we might, you know, fall short of that goal. And then we can walk out of that moment feeling defeated, feeling depleted of strength, and we feel like, I don't want to try again. All right, I just want to remain right where I am. Anybody ever been there before? But you tried to do something, and you know, it didn't work out the way you intended it. right? And then that leaves you a little bit short on energy, right? So it's important that you know where to expend your energy, where to give your energy to. But the thing about energy is that as you expand it, God does not want you to get energy and to sit on it. You see, even in the natural, right? How do we get energy naturally speaking, physically? Food, okay? We get energy from the food we eat. Now, if I take in food, which is energy, and I don't exercise that energy that I receive, what's going to happen to me physically? The body takes energy and converts it to what? Fat. And you begin to expand. Right? You begin to expand. Why? Because you know what? It's a prophetic picture to you that the energy you're sitting on, you should be actually using it on the outside, not on the inside. You're holding on to something that you should not be holding on to. See, as slim and tender as I am, if I sit home and just eat Big Mac burgers and pizza and Twinkies and roti all day, every day, what's going to happen to me? And I don't do anything. I just sit and just eat. I'm going to expand. I'm going to get fat. And all fat is untapped, unused energy. Okay? Now, what's supposed to happen is, but if I use and expend that energy, I will actually burn that energy off. I'll burn it off. And so in the spiritual now, your spiritual man, what is the energy that your spirit needs? Very good. Right? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. All right? So words are to your spirit what food is to your body. Words is the energy that your spirit needs. And that's why if you're not hearing the right words, somebody can talk to you and begin to break your spirit down. It can discourage you. It can make you feel hopeless. All right? Somebody can talk you out of faith. All right? Can talk you out of expansion. But when you hear a word from God, whoo, the Bible says the entrance of the word giveth light. That word light means energy. The entrance of the word in your spirit, when you receive it, it will actually release energy to you. Okay? And that's why this leads into my last point. The last thing I want to show you about expansion. Expansion. Expansion is the byproduct of a healthy relationship with God. Hope you can read this. Expansion is the byproduct of a healthy relationship, hallelujah, with God. When you are rightly connected and in right standing with God, see, expansion is not supposed to be a painful process. Expansion is not supposed to be a process that leaves you struggling and frustrated. No, expansion is supposed to be a flow. It's supposed to be as natural to you as reproduction. Be fruitful and multiply. Reproduction, for the most part, is not hard. You just got to be in a position to. Hello. So if reproduction is not a hard thing to do, expansion isn't as well, because the same time he gave the command to multiply, he said to be fruitful. Amen. So if we are going to learn how to expand, it requires you to have a healthy relationship with God. Now, what are the three main things that you want to know underlining this point about the healthy relationship with God? There are three principles necessary in understanding what it means to experience expansion through having a healthy relationship with God. Number one, how do we know that, how do we develop a healthy relationship with God? What are the three elements to having a healthy relationship with God? Number one, consecration. Consecration. Number two, revelation. And number three, application. All right? I told you we're doing some work, right? So I want you guys to write, record, take this thing down. Number one, consecration. Number two, revelation. And number three, application or action or demonstration. And what that simply means, and next week I'm gonna go back to that. We're gonna talk about consecration a little bit. But all that simply means is that word consecration might be a new word for you, some of you, but it's extremely important that you get this and you're and understanding your relationship with God. If you're going to be anything for God, with God, you must first be with God. If you're going to be anything for God or with God, you must first be with Him, all right? You have to spend time with God. That's what consecration is. Consecration is breaking away from the busyness of your life and is learning how to spend time with God. That's all it is. And what that means is I spend time in His presence, I read His word, I put on some worship music, and I'm with Him for the purpose of transformation. I'm with Him for the purpose of allowing Him to open up my heart and to show me who He is and show me who I am. All right, because if we talked about in the beginning, Adam had the responsibility of being fruitful and multiplying, replenishing the earth, subduing the earth, having dominion on the earth. But we know in chapter 3, when he sinned and he fell out of relationship with God, he then lost the ability that he had to be fruitful and to expand God's way. So that's why when we come back into right standing with God, a relationship with God, expansion becomes something that is not a struggle. It's not something that's difficult. It's something that is an overflow of my relationship with God. All right? But the first level is consecration, being with God, spending time with God. This is critical because the worst thing is that God begins to release more and begins to allow expansion to take place, but then the stuff that comes into your life actually becomes more of a distraction to you than a blessing. All right, and that happens, right? As Ryan was talking about, we always say that cliche, more money, more problems. It's not that there's more problems. It's not that there's more problems. It's just that you've allowed the money to become more important to you than God. Because the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow. So if God adds more money to you, it's not going to be a sorrow to you. It's not going to be painful to you. It's going to be something you can enjoy. Amen? All right? And so when you spend time with God in consecration, what happens is you get revelation. Revelation is when you hear God's voice. God speaks to you. Okay? So from consecration, you get revelation. God speaks to you. He begins to give you direction for your life, guidance. He gives you dreams, visions, all right? He begins to open up your spirit to where you're supposed to be in life, all right? What relationships you should be in, okay? God begins to direct and begin to steer your life. And the reason why some of us just don't know His voice is because we haven't spent time with Him long enough, spent any beneficial time with Him, so that His voice can become familiar to us. And John chapter 10 actually teaches that there are strangers that come to you, and you have to be able to know the difference between the voice of a stranger and the voice of God. And if you don't know the voice of God, you will hear the voice of a stranger and follow what that person is saying. The enemy will send things your way to deceive you and talk you out of God's will and God's plan for your life. So, consecration precedes revelation. You hear God's voice, you know what He has to say. And then, after God speaks to you, you got to get up and do something. God speaks to you and He gives you an instruction, amen? And that instruction is the application, is what you actually are supposed to do. And when we hear God's word, as you guys said, His word gives you energy to get work done. And the thing about energy is when you execute on an instruction effectively, when you see an accomplishment, it actually gives you more energy, right? When you see a goal accomplished, when you see something that you said you were going to do and it happened, you get more fired up to do something again. Right? So the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Right, when you set your hope on something and it doesn't work out, you feel sick. You don't feel like trying again. But when you see fruit, when you see fruit, when you see results, when you see growth, when you see expansion, it motivates you. Right, Fit Fam? When you're working out and you see that cut forming, you see that little dip in the abs right there, all right? It makes you want to keep going because you see some results. Amen? And what that means is, what God needs from us is, he needs us to spend time with him, consecration, no matter what level, no matter what level of responsibility, authority, or influence, or authority you get to, that will never, ever replace the need for your consecration with God. All right? No matter where you are in life, I gotta spend time with God. Why? Because I don't want to waste my energy. And I don't want to waste energy on things that will not be fruitful, that will be unproductive, because if I do that, I'm going to be disappointed, and it's going to actually sap the energy out of my life. And it's going to make me come to a place where I don't feel like trying, and that's why people get stuck in cages. That's why people get stuck under ceilings. That's why people get bound to areas in life, because they don't feel like trying anymore. A poverty spirit creeps in and begins to tell you that you can't go for more. You can't accomplish more. You can't reach more. You can't accomplish more. Right? Poverty is not just about money. Right? Poverty is a mindset that robs you out of your expansion rights. All right? When you have an expansive mindset, you begin to operate in wealth. See, wealth doesn't start with money. It's a mindset. So this teaching on expansion is actually bringing us into a wealth mindset. See, because I don't need to try to increase. I'm not the only person that wants to increase. I know that when we all start increasing, when we all begin to multiply and become fruitful, it just leads to more and more opportunities for each and every one of us. Our kids are going to get to eat. Our family members are going to get to eat, right? I don't need to eat the whole cake. I don't need to eat it because I know there's more that came from. Because in everything that exists, there lies the potential to continue to expand. And as we know from science, this universe, even when it was created, has not stopped expanding. Do you know that? That right now, this universe is still expanding, it's still making more room. For what? Why do we need any more room in the universe? But that's the nature of our God. The Bible says that of the increase of his government, there is no end. Come on. And the kingdom of God is within you, which means that there is potential in you to keep stretching, to keep expanding, to keep growing, to keep accomplishing more. Come on. Come on. Come on. See, the sociologists today will tell you, you know, we gotta control the population. All right, there's not enough room on the earth. They're trying to teach you this deficit shortage mentality, not an expansion mindset. So we know we got to do things. We got to tell people that they can't have any more kids. You know, there's not enough room on the planet. And if you hear that and you believe that, you know, there's not enough room, there's not enough money, there's not enough resources, and it can bring you into fear and hysteria and panic because I don't know if there's enough money. Do you know that America, for example, the country of America, the continent of America, can fit in Africa 3 times. They don't teach you that in school. The continent of America can fit in the continent of Africa 3 times. That's how much land we have just in Africa alone. That means if we, let's just say America wants to get overpopulated. Let's say every square inch of America was covered by people. We can take everybody from Africa and move them right to Africa. Everybody from America and move them right to Africa. We have more than enough room. Come on. You know what that means? There is no shortage on the planet. Come on. There is no shortage. There is no deficit. They tell you there's a recession. There's no money. Well, where did all the money go? Where did it go? It just disappeared and vanished. Somebody's pocket. My point is, the enemy will do all that he can to continue to talk you out of the potential and ability you have to expand. And I'm here to let you know that there is no shortage, there is no limit, there is no restriction on your life from being able to grow, to become augmented, to rise above your limits, to rise beyond your boundaries. There is no limits on you right now, but your spirit needs to believe this, because you haven't been hearing the right food. You haven't been receiving the right diet yet. All right? And God is going to say, for some of you, you're going to shift from whatever class you're in. If you're in a lower class, you're about to go to the middle class. And if you're in the middle class, get ready to expand to the upper class. And if you're in the upper class, get ready to expand to the elite class. I'm going to be a part of that 3%. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Hallelujah. And it's not my responsibility to try to figure out how it's going to come. All I know is this is my inheritance. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Come on. And if we are in him, all that is in it belongs to him. God wants to see the righteous ruling, not the wicked. If the wicked are ruling the money right now, well, God needs some righteous people to get their hands on it. Come on. Everybody say expansion. All right? I didn't give you this one more level, this one more law I didn't get to write down. I'll just write this down. Number five. This is it. The fifth law of expansion, I want you to know this. Hallelujah. You will never, let me open them up. I didn't even look at my notes. Watch this. You can never expand, here's the last law. You can never expand beyond the level of your self-worth. Say it again. You can never expand beyond the level of your self-worth. All right? You will never expand beyond the level of your self-worth. In other words, how you feel about yourself, what you believe you can accomplish will determine how much you can grow, how much you can expand. You can never rise above your self-worth. That's why it's so important that you spend time with God, because God, who is the source of your image, the source of your identity, the more you see him, the more you spend time with him, what he begins to do is show you who you are and shows you what you can do. So that's why when Peter walked with Jesus, there came a point when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus then looks at him and says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Why? Because no revelation of God is complete without self-revelation. You need to know who you are, and that's what God is after. He says, "I want you to know me, because the more you know me, the more you're going to know who you are, because you were made in my image." So you don't know you can have authority, and don't know you can have dominion, and you don't know you can expand in every area of your life, because you just haven't spent time to know me yet. All right? So God needs your self-worth to climb, and that's one of the things that's going to happen after this series. Your sense, your feeling, your appreciation of yourself, your love for yourself is going to increase. You see, you gotta know that you deserve the best. You gotta know that you deserve to be an elite person in this world. Why? He says, if you hear my voice, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, those who hear my voice and follow my commands, they will be the head and not the tail. I'll set them high above all nations on the earth. God needs you at the highest level. God wants you there. But it's all based off of, number one, your relationship with him. You knowing him. And let me show you something. The minute God began to give me this revelation, it was back in January. He began to whisper it to me in the end of the last year. But then when I really began to receive, I was in right here in this office writing, and the Lord began to give me some, I didn't even touch on that yet. Can I show you one more revelation in Genesis? One more? All right, go back to Genesis 1. I was sitting down writing this one thing right here. And Rupert's not here. I was writing, the Lord began to speak to me about increase and expansion. And the minute he gave me this revelation, I said, "God, since increase is your will,
and expansion is your will, then the next place we go as a church has to be bigger than this place. It wasn't 5 minutes later when Rupe called me and said, "Are you busy right now?" He said, "I'm looking at a building. So I just met the owner. I want you to come and meet him." That building that we went to, right, that we prayed in, some of us were there, we all prayed in. It was the same day God began to give me this revelation on increase. And it was actually, for me, I knew it was a sign. So I didn't necessarily, if it's where he wants us to go next, that's okay. But I knew it was a sign, because see, when you begin to hear the word of God, he begins to give you signs and wonders, okay? Signs are not an end, but they point you to a greater end. Okay? So a sign, if you're on a highway, you see a sign, you don't drive into the sign. The sign is pointing you somewhere. So when I walked onto that site, I recognized, God, this is a sign that we're onto something here. Expansion. See, I know that our expansion and our growth is going to be effortless. It's not going to be a struggle. See, we bought into this idea, you know, we got songs that say, you know, I won't give up now. I've come so hard. What is it? I've come too far for you to leave me. Nobody told me the road will be what? Easy. All right, and we sing it and we get carried away with it. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. Do you believe that? All right? So that means when we follow Jesus, his voice, and do what he asks us to do, he makes life easier for us, not harder. But our ego, we like to feel good about ourselves, so we want to do things ourselves, our way. And then that's usually the harder way. And it's always the harder way. But let me give you this last revelation. Look back in Genesis 1. Notice I said that everything was created at a deficit so that God can begin to show us the law of expansion, right? So when we look at verse 3, what does the Bible say happened? Look at verse 3. Genesis 1, verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Did God create light at that moment, or did light already exist? Did he create light, or did light already exist? He called it out of the darkness. Which means that in the beginning, he created everything in verse 1. But what God did was, the light was waiting on a declaration or an instruction from him. You don't get this. Everything has been created. You're not creating anything. You're not creating. See, we use our words like, you know, I decree and declare, and we're trying to create things that we don't believe we already have. No. All God did was, he already knew what he created. Light was already there, although it wasn't in appearance. All he did was call the light out of his toolbox. Light come. And it appeared. What that means is increase, expansion, whatever you need, increase, is a natural response to a word from God. Increase is the natural response to a revelation from God. Hallelujah. When you begin to declare something that is from the word, you have to realize you're not asking God to give you something that is not in existence. You're asking God to cause to appear for you what's already there for you, waiting for manifestation from your declaration, from your confession, from based upon your revelation that comes from your consecration in God. See, you don't know what you can call into existence if you don't have consecration or relationship with God. Jesus said, Father, I thank you for everything I need. You already gave it to me. And raised Lazarus from the dead. He knew he can do that because of his relationship with Almighty God. So you don't know what you can really call for, because confession is not speaking things that are not. You're speaking things that already are. So the word confession in the Greek means to say the same thing. It means to say, that's what it means. It means say the same thing. It means to harmonize your agreement with something that already is. So when you're asking God to do something for you, and you're saying, well, God bless me, that's a false prayer to pray. You don't need to ask God to bless you. You're already blessed. God, I thank you that I'm blessed. Hallelujah. You don't need to ask God, God, anoint me. No, if you're in Christ, God, I thank you for an anointing. Hallelujah. I'm not asking God, God, make me wealthy. Because when you say that, you're saying you're not. So, God, I thank you that you made me wealthy in Jesus. See, my identity is in Christ. And the same way I call, got to call darkness out of the light to manifest, it's the same way you got to begin to confess what you already have in Christ into your present, into your now, into your existence. Amen? And increase naturally response to what God has to say. Is that all right? You got too low for me. Hallelujah. Come on. The promises of God are yes and amen. Come on. Somebody said, if you want amens, tell people what they already know. If you want a lot of amens. If you want a quiet room, just say what they don't know. All right. Let's all stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.